He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin. Joined today, as always, on these nice, well, right now it's not like a Thursday. It's Thursday night. It is late where I am at. I am old. I am groggy. I am joined, however, by Aaron Larsoul. How you doing, bud?
I'm well. It's been a long day. Hence why we are recording at night as opposed to our usual morning extravaganza. And it is still miserably hot here, as I'm sure it is where you are.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Not so, even a little bit.
But otherwise, I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Do you want to tell people why it was a long day? I think this will score you some points.
Well, my sister who has moved back to Los Angeles and her boyfriend, they are moving. We started moving today, so I spent the first maybe 6 hours of the day moving, and then mom and pops are in town. They came to town this afternoon, so then I cooked for mom, pops, my sister, her boyfriend, my niece, my nephew, my brother's wife, my brother, if I didn't mention him. So yeah, a lot of moving, and then scurrying back to my place to make a little feast to bring over to my brother's place. So
what'd you cook?
I did a shrimp boil, low country shrimp boil. So shrimp and
I cooked shrimp tonight too. I didn't boil it.
Crab legs and some lobster tail, potatoes, corn.
I have a hot take.
Okay.
I think this is going to be a hot take.
Okay.
My favorite shrimp my favorite crab is Dungeness, not King. I prefer Dungeness.
Interesting. I don't eat it. Shrimp and raw ahi tuna are the only two things I eat out of the water. I like cooking seafood, but I don't eat it.
So shrimp is tough. As everybody listening and watching knows, I have been dabbling a lot more with cooking recently.
Yep.
And
to reasonable success. I don't know about that. I don't know about that Benihana you posted the other day, but we'll save that for later.
But like not Benihana. The land animals, I think I have down pretty well.
Yeah, you usually look like, I mean, when I see your steak, so here's the thing. And mm-hmm. Here I am, like, I'm fucking Gordon Ramsay over here. But yeah.
Say this in a British accent. It's raw.
So your steak the temperature looks well cooked. You generally cook it to the correct temperature. I need a harder sear on it from you, but the medium rare, you seem to do a pretty good job of getting it medium rare. So I think you're doing well with the land animals, with the turf part of the surf and turf.
Yeah, well, the turf part is tricky. Turf tends to cook so much faster.
You're talking about the surf.
Oh, yeah. Surf cooks so much faster.
Yep.
And I cook at high temperatures. So yep. It is very volatile, volatile, whatever you want to say. It, like, that stuff can be just overcooked in a second.
Oh, yeah.
It can come across as rubbery.
Yep.
It can ruin stuff outright. And you know, I've gotten better. Shrimp is a little easier. Scallops to me are the ones that, like, fortunately I'm the only person in my family who likes scallops. So like, as I cook them, I feel like I'm not ruining them for anybody, but
just
like
for there's, yourself.
Yeah, right. Like I can, and if like they're undercooked, I'm the only person who's who's at risk.
Well, actually, I think I was gonna say I'll teach you when I come there, but I think you're gonna be here before
in
I'm there. So yeah. So I'll teach you. I can scallops. I'll teach. I don't eat them, but I can cook them.
Yeah. So that's fun. Anyway, today we are going to be talking about Jared Vanderbilt. Okay. We're going to be talking about Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
And by extension, maybe a little bit of Anthony Davis. We'll see.
Okay.
And then we're going to introduce America's next favorite game.
All right. I like it. What are we playing?
It's called White People Stuff.
Oh.
In which I'm going to be throwing out stuff at you.
Okay.
And then as over the course of the game, mm-hmm. stuff will come to your mind that you will surprise me with. Whatever that is, being white people.
How did
stuff.
We start? I mean, this is something I've said or I've called mm-hmm. activities this sort of thing for many, many, many years. And actually, I have a friend who is a very well known comedian, and he has now incorporated it into his stand up act every once in a while, which is fun. So I don't know how this came up on the show some weeks ago, but this is something I've said. I don't even know where I got it, but this is something I've said for many years at this point.
All right, here's actually where the game came from.
Okay.
Because like most of the stuff that you have said doesn't really surprise me. Okay. But when you said that Marvel is white people stuff, yeah, that knocked me off my chair.
Yeah, that's white people.
And so like at that point I started wondering, all right, like what is it that I have enjoyed my entire life that
you're allowed
I'm
to enjoy
finding
white
out.
People stuff?
Well, no, I'm not saying I'm not, but like I what if what is it that I've enjoyed my entire life that like a you know because I you know I have a lot of people in my life, a lot of black friends and black teammates and stuff like that like I was into stuff and enjoyed stuff around them that they were like that I'm like questioning myself now like oh shit. They weren't into that. They did not like that at all. So
there you go.
So like I need to know like what's I need to know.
All right. Well, I'll give you the primer for whatever you throw at me.
All right.
For
all
your
right.
future black friends and teammates. Maybe you have black teammates for something. I don't know. Some like old
no
men's league softball. Something.
Never again.
Beer league softball. Something like
the
that.
The teammate thing is like you are my last teammate. I think.
All right, fair enough. I don't know. I would imagine those brothers in Texas. This is a thing I've been telling you for a couple of weeks now. That those brothers in Texas is a different breed. So
yeah,
maybe you can probably play some softball with them. Play some beer league softball with you. It's gonna be nothing.
Softball
but
cool, is
nothing
fun.
Coors Lights, but
softball is softball. Fun.
No, it's not. It is. Not.
It is. It softball, is.
Okay, here we'll start the game now. Soft people. Softball is white people. Shit. We just started. Softball isn't fun.
All right. Well, if you enjoyed that, that's later. We'll talk.
All right.
We'll talk about that at the second half of the show.
Okay.
Or not the second half, but like the last segment of the show.
Back end. All right.
Yeah.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
I want to talk about Jared Vanderbilt.
Okay.
And he's been the subject of a lot of conversation recently. I've felt like since the offseason has basically come to its fruition, I've had a few mailbag questions asked about him. And he's interesting because he has a defensive skill set that the Lakers desperately need. You know, he's the Lakers' best perimeter defender, I think. As it stands right now,
he's the best point of attack Lakers perimeter defender. He's not as good chasing.
Yeah, that's true.
But like one on one, just this.
Well, but like it's not like the Lakers have very many chaser defenders on their roster. It's like Austin.
No, but he gets. But once you just lump it in as perimeter, that eliminates a big part of perimeter defense. And he's just seen as a very, very good perimeter defender, and that is somewhat true. He has one very elite skill that he's just an A or A plus at. The other part of it, and it's kind of matchup dependent, it's who he's asked to guard, right? Like there's a difference. They play the same position and they're both incredible offensive players, but there's a difference in guarding Ja Morant and Steph Curry, right?
Yeah.
They're both point guards, but Ja's not going to be running around, going off screens, you know, putting you through the ringer.
Without the ball.
Correct. And so Vanderbilt is an A or A plus. Jared's an A or A plus guarding those kind of guys. He's still great, like just standing in front of Steph Curry, but the other parts of it, he's not so good at. But I agree with you. He is the Lakers, on balance, he is the Lakers' best perimeter defender.
Yeah, like even given what you just said, even given that disclaimer, I still think he's the Lakers' best perimeter defender in totality. But he's also so bad offensively that it brings into question what's that?
You hear me sigh very deeply already.
Yeah, I know. Do you want to get some unnamed?
No. Yeah, because but, I think that's well. Go ahead. Yeah, finish.
Maybe bad is the word is not the word for it. Limited. Can I say limited? He's so limited offensively that it in the playoffs made him unplayable. Even given what he was trying to do defensively and what he's asking to do defensively.
So I'm sighing again, and I think.
Yeah.
The second time y'all finish.
The conversation about him recently is his role within this roster. And the way that I summed it up when I talked about him in a mailbag episode was that his skill set is very important. The Lakers, as currently constructed, there is not very much replication of that skill set.
No. A little bit with Torian Prince, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, even with Torian, though, like I feel like if the game gets even a little physical, I feel like he doesn't like that very much. I think Vanderbilt relishes physicality a little bit more, maybe even too much. Like he enjoys getting screened too much. Is the problem? he sees the screen, he's like, oh hell yeah! Like he goes full X-Men guy. Whose name
why
I'm
people,
I'm
that's for. Why people, that's why people shit. I don't.
All right. Well. All right. That's gonna come up later. But anyway, but yeah, I landed on with Vanderbilt that he will and should get an opportunity at the beginning of the year to play a big role in the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
But if his offense hasn't taken a tangible step forward from the last time we saw him in on this roster where there is so much wing depth, he might fall out of the rotation because defenses can so easily scheme him out of the game with how limited he is offensively. So that's where I wind up.
Okay.
And I think that's generally like the consensus among other people who are creating content and talking about the Lakers in the way that we do. Mm-hmm. Where do you land on him? And where did let's actually start here. Where'd the size come from?
The size came from, you're not wrong. I just think it's not entirely fair because it's lacking in context.
Okay.
Jared has limitations offensively. And I think it's going to be a real question about whether he starts or not.
Starts?
Yeah, here's why. I see the argument both ways. I don't. I personally would start Rui. But I think there is an argument. I think there is a credible argument to start him. Now, look, what you're saying about the playoffs is right. I'll get to the context in a second why I think it's not entirely his fault or not entirely fair. But as the playoffs went on in each individual series and then series by series, he played less and less and less. And that is partially because the Lakers had him standing in the corner and nobody cared about him shooting jumpers in the corner. So then he didn't really have a function offensively. I think that's part of it. The other part of it, though, is there wasn't really the matchup for him. As I said, like I was just kind of pulled these dudes out as kind of different archetype players at point guard. But Ja and Steph, I just kind of pulled them as two different archetypes. But it's meaningful insofar as I think it was illustrative of kind of his strengths and weaknesses as a defensive player. And the further the Lakers went in the playoffs, there was there wasn't somebody for him to guard so much, right? Like Jaw, he's good on Jaw, right? He can stand in front of him. Jaw's not going to do much off the ball. You're not worried about him as a shooter so much. And then against the Warriors, there wasn't really anybody for him to guard. Started with Steph, and he wasn't good. He's not great guard. I mean, look, nobody can guard Steph. But for all the things that Vando does well, that was not one of them. And so if you have that, and then there's the offensive limitations, then the utility drops significantly. And then in the Denver series, Jamal Murray is more similar to Steph. He's like nobody's Steph, but he's more similar to Steph than he is to Ja, right? Like he's good. Yeah. He can harm you as a shooter. He can harm you off the ball, especially with Jokic as a passer throwing the ball all over the place. They will run some actions for Jamal Murray off the ball. And handoffs with Jokic and all kinds of stuff. So that doesn't speak to Vanderbilt's defensive strengths. And if you don't have like the guy for him to guard, and then there's the problems offensively, that's why he got a DNP. The last game of the Lakers season, Vanderbilt didn't play at all. The reason I say it's kind of, I think it's more complicated is like, and it's matchup dependent, right? Like, if he's not going to start, and again, I think I settled on Rui, but if he's not going to start, you're kind of
missing. The Lakers settle on Rui when they gave him $17 million a year?
I mean, not necessarily. Not
that's a lot to pay to somebody coming off of your bench.
Sure, but I mean, Malik Beasley was making $16 million last year and didn't start all the time anywhere.
And what's Malik making now?
Yeah, sure. But like the point that is not the deciding factor. Like how much somebody's contract is not the deciding factor.
But like the difference though is that like the Lakers didn't decide to pay Malik Beasley that. Somebody else gave him that contract.
Sure. Fair.
Gave Rui this contract.
Well, I would start Rui. But the argument for starting Vando, and I think it's a decent one, is what does he do best? He does best like a one-on-one. I'm going to guard that dude on the perimeter, right? And so if you're not going to deploy him against those guys, and those guys start because they're the best players on planet Earth, then I don't know really what you do with him. And it's not just about, I don't even think his best role is Steph and guarding Steph and Ja and Dame and Jamal Murray and all of that. The Lakers are sort of forced into that because they don't have a great option otherwise, or they didn't have a great option otherwise last year because D'Lo's not going to guard those guys. So you have to kind of unfortunately find somebody else. And that often was Vando. Sometimes it was Austin. It became Austin in the Warrior series after Vando couldn't do it or wasn't great at it. So I think it's like, I think it's a team like construction, lineup construction as a whole thing. But if you're not going to have Vando guard Jason Tatum and Booker and BI, like all these wings, these like big wings, 6'6", 6'8", 6'9", wings that initiate offense, who's the other answer? Like that's what you need Vando for. You need him guarding Booker, KD, BI, Wiggins doesn't initiate that much. Tatum, Jaylen Brown, who we'll talk about. Like, that's what you need Vando for, and those guys are starters. And I don't know who the answer is in the starting lineup if it's not Vando. Rui's just plainly not good enough defensively to hang with those guys. LeBron has his moments, but I don't want LeBron doing that for as much, you know, at my age and also with the load that he has offensively. So I think that is kind of the argument for starting Vando. Now, to get to his offense, right?
Well, really quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
The defense thing, like, is Reeves so far behind him as a defender that you're willing to overlook the offensive issues?
Well, here's the thing, and I want to get to the offensive issues.
I actually think, so right now, it sounds like it's boiling and like positionally it is Rui versus Vando, but I actually think it's a Vincent versus Vando thing, because like if you start D'Lo, you need Vando out there because there isn't the defender, the perimeter. There isn't enough perimeter defense out there to get you by.
But even if you start Gabe, even if Vincent starts, which fine, I suspect D'Lo is going to start. But even if you start Vincent, you still have the Kawhi problem. You still have the Paul George problem. You still have the Jason Tatum problem, the Andrew Wiggins problem, the KD problem, the BI problem.
Those guys, I'm fine with Rui on. It's okay. Well, not fine with. Like, I don't look forward to it. You know, I'm not going to sit there and be like, woohoo! But again, that's part of why you paid him $17 million. Like $17 million a year. Like you, at some point, you need to test Rui and see what he can do there, because like you aren't getting a proper return on him. Because like,
have the answer to that though. Rui's a bucket getter, and when it got difficult in the playoffs, Rui guarded Joker, right? Like, I don't mind Rui because he's a big body, physical, pretty good athlete. I don't mind him guarding up. Guarding wings, like the dudes that are initiating offense, that's not something Rui's great at. He just, like, we can all want him to be, but he isn't.
Isn't there kind of an issue here when, all right, the three part of this.
And by the way, I still
might have been an outlier in the playoffs.
I still am advocating for Rui to start, by the way, but yes.
But like so the Lakers paid a guy to essentially be a 3-and-D wing. The three part of it might have been an outlier in the postseason, and the D part of it is hyper specific. So like at some point you kind of want to, I, especially in the regular season, would like to throw him into the deep end and see what happens here.
Well, again, I'm advocating for him to start. I mean, I think Rui should end up starting. My point is I see the argument for why.
Because if
you're going to play Vando off the bench, you are taking the one thing we know he does incredibly well, and there isn't anybody else on the roster that does that thing anywhere near as well, and saying like, we don't need it today. Like you're coming off the bench. And I mean, maybe the answer to that is one of two things. Either whoever starts, whether it's Vando starting or Rui starting, it's a short shift and the other one is the first guy in. So I think that's a possibility too, right? Your starter doesn't necessarily have to play like the first 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
The offense thing, I think it's kind of not a red herring. I think it puts not enough responsibility on the collective. I think it's too specific to say that Vando is the problem. It looks like Vando is the problem because he's not being guarded, right? He's standing in the corner and nobody's guarding him. And, you know, when he eventually shoots those threes, he's making 20% of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like Vando is the problem, but I think it's more complicated than that.
I enjoyed Lakers Twitter breaking down a couple shots that he took in a highlight reel and being like, his shot's fixed. I'm like, his knees are going inward. His hand is still positioned in front of the ball.
Every fucking egghead on Twitter is a shot doctor.
These dudes,
when they're playing against air, you're not going to learn anything about them. You just are not going to learn anything about these dudes playing against air.
And I just will not trust anybody on Twitter. Like, this is where I will be. I will do the whole like real hoopers thing. Until I see you shoot a jumper, I'm not gonna listen to a single thing you say about shooting. Because anybody who saw that clip and was like, Vando's fixed, I'm like, no, he's not.
Well, I mean, hold on, maybe he is. But if he is, it's not because you saw him shooting jumpers in an empty gym. I've played a fair amount against NBA guys in my life, and they're just different. They're superheroes. They're just different.
Yeah.
I'd say they're Avengers,
but that's white people stuff, apparently.
Every dude in the NBA can stand at the NBA 3-point line in an empty gym and make 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
They're just, it's all they've done their entire lives. They are so good. Even a dude,
especially the second half of their lives. Like most recently, all they do is that.
I think I've told this story before, but I went and played one of my really good friends still to this day, Joel Prisbilla, played for the Blazers and he couldn't play in the NBA now because that kind of player, that archetype of player just doesn't exist in the NBA anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have any skill.
He existed because of Shaq.
He didn't have any skill. He would set screens, elbow you in the mouth, block a bunch of shots, you know, get offensive rebounds, dunk, you know, block a bunch of shots. I think he's still the Blazers' all-time franchise leader in field goal percentage because he did nothing but pick and roll dunks, offensive rebound, like little baby jump hook.
Mm-hmm.
I literally have never seen him take a jump shot in an NBA game. Literally never.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure I've seen him dribble in an NBA game. So I go play him one summer, go to Milwaukee to work out with him and, you know, play against him. And, you know, but I've seen this dude in practice all the time, right? And you see him in pregame doing whatever. He could stand at the top of the key at NBA 3 and make 20, 25 in a row. He literally never took a jump shot that I ever saw in the history of the NBA. So all of these dudes in an empty gym can all shoot it, I promise you. So Vando also, making shots against nobody doesn't tell me anything.
Especially if you're making a highlight reel where you can literally edit
sure.
out.
You're only using the ones that go in. Yeah. That's also a good point. Everybody looks good in the summer.
But like to me,
Devin Booker complaining about getting double teamed. We're working on our games here.
To me, I was laughing at like people breaking down his form and being like, see, the form is way better. And I'm like,
yeah.
Have you ever shot a ball?
Everybody's Chip England now, all right? Everybody's on Twitter as a shot doctor. Cool.
Like, have you ever played?
Everybody's
Have
a
you
scout.
Ever thrown a dart? Have you ever like
everybody's a scout? Okay,
played
so
beer pong.
So here's why I think that the Vando stuff is kind of lacking context. It looks like Vando is the problem when you see it because it is the one
He's
thing
still that
sticks
a problem
out.
Though.
He becomes however playable or unplayable he was in the playoffs. Yeah, it's part of it's on him because he's not a shooter. Part of it's on him. But he becomes unplayable, however unplayable he was, because nobody else was making him either. Like, if mm-hmm. LeBron could shoot, if AD could shoot, then it's not a problem. So LeBron, go make some jumpers. LeBron made zero jumpers last season. I think until game four against Denver, he made a bunch of them. But LeBron shot 30% from three for most of the year. Or he was mm-hmm. maybe below that. AD doesn't even he doesn't even look at the basket anymore out there.
Yeah.
So if those guys who are
Do you
both
think that capable, needs to change this year? Like, do you think?
I do. Yeah, I do.
I at least want to see him start the year, like, taking some of those shots.
So we say, there's a space problem, right? If AD, if you have, you want Rui because he can space a little bit, you know, he's sort of a threat out there and provides a little bit more space for AD and LeBron. And with Vando, that front court just has no spacing, right? Austin's okay. Austin's a decent shooter. He's okay.
Nah, I think he'll be good next year.
D'Lo, maybe.
He's on a trajectory to be good.
Yeah, sure. D'Lo is good already, right? Mm-hmm. But that feels like there isn't enough space out there. Okay, well, yeah, like it would be better if Vando could shoot. But where are LeBron and AD? Those are your two best players. Those are your superstars. And both have shown over their career they are capable as shooters.
Yeah.
AD less so. But like it's not for me, it's not asking too much for LeBron to shoot 36% from three, right? Go take your 5 or 7 a game and shoot 36%. Be like a league average 3-point shooter. If that's the case, like the Vando is unplayable thing is much less stringent to me. The other problem with AD not taking them and LeBron not making any is like it seems like Vando is like, oh, he has to stand in the corner. Like, there's nothing for him to do. He has to stand in the corner and he can't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
If AD is some out on the perimeter and is willing to take shots, even if a ton of them don't go in, and if LeBron is out there making them, then you don't have to have Vando standing in the corner doing nothing. Yeah. Vando is, so this, like, you know what Vando reminds me of? He reminds me of Gary Payton II.
Okay.
Because he's a perimeter, I mean, Gary Payton II is like 6'2 and Vando 6'8. But Gary Payton II is a guard defensively, like Vando is, and he's a center. He's a big offensively. Mm-hmm. He's good in the short roll. He's good in the dunker spot. He's good at setting screens, all that kind of stuff. And Vando can do that kind of stuff too. But if AD
less so the
and
short
LeBron,
roll, like he can't really pass the
fair,
way the GP2
that's fair,
can.
That's fair. But there's similar players in that regard. And GP2 bounced around.
GP2 is also like a $13, $14 million player now.
Nine. But he was
Vando's a five.
Every team in the NBA basically had a shot at him, right? He was mm-hmm. waived by the Lakers. He was cut by the Warriors twice. You know, like he bounced around the NBA. He was at Summer League everywhere. And it was because nobody could figure out how to use him until the Warriors figured out that he's a big on offense and he's a small on defense. Everybody loved that he
could
guard.
Which you can only do if you have like the shooting that the Warriors have, by the way.
But if LeBron...
That's your point.
LeBron, if LeBron made... Because GP2 can't... He's a little better than Vando, but he's not like a shooter either. He'll make some out of the corners, but he's not a shooter either. The Warriors, teams do this a lot, is we look at what people can't do and say, all right, this dude can't do that, and so I can't play this dude. And like Utah did a really great job of this. Their new coach last year did a really great job of this. I don't care what you can't do. Let's figure out what you can do, like with Lauri Markkanen, and let's accentuate what you can do. Let's take advantage of what you can do. So if LeBron is making league average as a three-point shooter and AD is willing to take them, then Vando has more of an opportunity to be a screener, to set up in the dunker spot. And then you can take advantage of the things he can do offensively, as opposed to, well, there's no space. Yeah, there's no space because your two best players who have shown that they are capable of making jump shots can't. So like LeBron and AD, you're the superstars. Go make some jumpers.
Yeah. Well, And look, Andy Kamenetsky made this point. I just did Locked On Lakers, which was super weird, by the way. But
I heard you talking to Harrison about like going back to your childhood home.
Yeah.
Wait, y'all still have that wallpaper?
It was fun. It was nice. Shouts to Andy for having us on or having me on. Yeah. But Andy made the point that in terms of people doing their jobs, Vando was closer to doing his job than like Russell was, you know. Vando was closer to doing his job than, you know, Beasley or even in some cases LeBron and AD, right? Given the expectations out of both of those guys. You're right that like the knock on or the knocks on Vando's offense often lack context, but also he's extremely limited on that end. That's why he makes $5 million a year,